This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want to share with you a message that I've never preached, that God placed on my heart, and I just dug in a little bit. But it's found in the book of Esther, chapter 4. Esther, chapter 4. This is what verse 14 says. But if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Let's pray. God, I cannot. You never said I could. God, you can. You always said you would. Holy Spirit, come. Manifest yourself. Meet the needs of the people. You're a good, good God. And for all you do, we praise you. We thank you for your manifold of blessings. To that man, woman, boy, or girl that's here today that doesn't know you as personal Savior, may they come to know you. God, may that marginal Christian sell out today for you. And I pray this prayer in the name above every name. That's the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of glory. And to you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about why you were put in your mother's womb. Why you were put in your mother's womb. Something that I do for enjoyment is I enjoy presidential history. I've gone to all the presidential libraries. So whether you be a Democrat or whether you be a Republican, it matters not. I go to all of them. I just enjoy the presidential history. There's only one man that was elected four times as the president of our great nation. His name was Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, an aristocrat from New York, was literally elected president of our nation. Before there were term limits, he was elected president four times. He actually died on April the 12th, 1945. I went to the bed that he died in, looked at the little bed that he died in. He actually died in Warm Springs, Georgia, at a place called the Little White House. Now, when Franklin Roosevelt, this great leader, was president who led the country through the Depression, he had a vice president. Now, his vice president was a very poor man. He had no money. His vice president didn't have a college education. He had been vice president for 82 days. Franklin Roosevelt had met with him only two times. He made all the decisions. He saw no esteem and he saw no credence in his vice president, Harry Truman. It was said of Harry Truman that when President Roosevelt died, Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt went to him. And she said, Harry, the president has died. And Harry Truman looked at the First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt, and he said, is there anything I can do for you? And she looked at him and said, no, Harry. Is there anything I can do for you? Because you're the one in trouble now. Because our country and our world was in the middle of World War II. The man that, small man, no education, that didn't look presidential. But when he was a boy in Missouri, he had a mother who read to him Ezekiel chapter 37. How those bones, and those bones represent Israel. How those bones would live again. She read to him Isaiah 66, verse 8, how a nation would be born in a day. And on May the 15th, 1948, that happened with the nation of Israel. She read to him Matthew 24, verse 32, how a dormant fig tree, and the fig tree in the Bible represents Israel, how it will put forth leaves again. She read to him Isaiah 62, verse 1, where the Bible says, for Zion's sake, we shall not be silent. This guy that didn't look presidential, by the time he was 15, he had read the Bible through complete 12 times. Something happened on May the 15th, 1948. The nation of Israel, who there was no nation for 1900 years, became a nation again. Statehood was restored to the nation of Israel. When it happened, the Secretary of State was a man by the name of George Marshall. And he went to President Truman. And he said, whatever you do, don't recognize Israel. It will cut our fuel supply off from the Arab nations. But the problem was with Harry Truman is he knew the Bible. He knew the Bible. And so he was the first world leader, the leader of America, to step forward and recognize the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. Yeah. Harry Truman said months later, the chief rabbi of Israel came to see him in his office. It was documented that this is what was happening. His name was Isaac Herzog. Isaac Herzog looked at Harry Truman. And he said, President Truman, you recognized Israel as a sovereign state. You gave our nation the support of the United States of America. And he said, President Truman, that's the reason why you were placed in your mother's womb. And when he said that, Truman put his head on his desk and cried uncontrollably. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible in Psalms 139, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Every one of us today, we may not be president of the United States, but God put every one of us in our mother's womb for a purpose. God put every one of us in our mother's womb because God had a plan. That's why life matters from the womb to the tomb. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason why you were placed in your mother's womb. Somebody said, Preacher Benny, do you fear failure? I really don't. I'd rather try and fail as fail to try. I don't fear failure, but I'll tell you what I do fear. I fear getting to the end of my life and succeeding in a bunch of things that didn't matter. I'm afraid many people will get to the end of their lives and they'll succeed in a bunch of things that don't matter. The King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem. But if you know world history, not only did he conquer Jerusalem, but the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. So as we come to this text today, the Jewish people were under the dictatorship of the Persians. There was a Persian king, Ahasuerus, and they were under the dictatorship of the Persians. There was a young girl there. Her name was Esther. Esther. Do you realize this, folks? There's only two books in the Bible that are named after women. Ruth was a Gentile who married a Jew. And then you have Esther, who was a Jew who married a Gentile. Two books. And I said, well, if a book was written after her, I want to dig into the book of Esther. And I want us to learn five practical things today, folks, from the book of Esther. The first thing I want us to get from the book of Esther is this. Don't let adversity cause you to give up. Don't let adversity cause you to give up. The most quoted pastor of all times is Charles Spurgeon. He was the first megachurch pastor. This is what Spurgeon said. He said, the Lord gets his best soldiers out of the high lands of affliction. Now, I want you to understand something. Esther was just a little slave girl. She was under Persian captivity. And boy, did she have adversity. She was not only an orphan, she was a double orphan. Because the Bible says in verse 2, in chapter 2, verse 7, she had lost her mother and she had lost her father. She was being raised by her cousin Mordecai. She didn't have a daddy to raise her. She didn't have a mama to raise her. She was raised by a cousin that happened to be older than her. But I want you to know something, folks. She didn't let adversity cause her to give up. Psalms 119, verse 71 says this. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Now, folks, that sounds like an oxymoron. But it's good for me. You know what is an oxymoron? It's like crash landing, amen? I mean, it's like jumbo shrimp, amen? I mean, it's like Georgia football, amen? I mean, it just don't go together. But look what he said. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. It's good for me that I'm having hardships. It's good for me that I'm going through this hard time. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. What are you saying to us, preacher? I'll tell you what this little orphan girl teaches me. This little orphan girl teaches me, whatever you do, don't let adversity cause you to give up. Don't let you say, Brother Benny, she didn't have a husband. She didn't have a mama. She didn't have a daddy. She didn't have anything going for her, but she decided, I'm not going to give up. Somebody said, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. You may be near when it seems so far, so stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that we must not quit. Don't you give up. Don't give an alibi. Give another try. Stay in the fight. You know what the word Esther means? It means star. It means star. I don't know if you know this, folks, but the stars are out all the time. But you only see the stars when it gets dark. Now, come on, you're not tracking. The stars are out all the time, but you only see the stars when it gets dark. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying it may be dark, but I'm saying keep shining. I'm saying it may be dark, but I'm saying keep shining. Oh, but let me tell you something else, folks. When you see the stars out, that means the absence of the sun. When the stars are out, the big star, the sun's on the backside. But guess what? Morning's coming. Thank you. Listen, morning's coming and the big star's gonna show up. You say, oh, preacher, it's dark right now. You just keep shining. The big star's on the backside and he's gonna show up, because Psalm says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy's coming in the morning. Oh, I just came by to tell you today. I just came by to tell you, don't let adversity cause you to quit. I want you to know something else. Trust God when it doesn't make sense. Trust God when it doesn't make sense. Now, let me explain. I get a little excited, but there'll be some meaning to the madness. There was a Persian king, Ahasuerus, and he had a queen named Vashti, and she disrespected the king. And when she disrespected the king, he said, I can't have this. If I let her by with this, all the women in the kingdom would disrespect their men. He said, I need to get a new mate. Whew. Boy, we'd be in trouble in America, wouldn't we? I need to get a new mate. Now, read your Bible, folks, and let me tell you what he had. He had a Miss Persia beauty contest. I mean, he was looking for a combination of Wonder Woman and Betty Crocker. I mean, he was looking for one. He was looking for one. I believe he was looking for one with a biblical dress on. What's a biblical dress? Lo and behold. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, said 400 women came. 400 women for Miss Persia. Wow. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 2, they were young virgins. I mean, they were attractive. But get this, folks. Get this. Esther, it's believed, was between 40 and 74. And she walks up, and he says, oh, rock my world, little country girl. Do you folks ever read the Bible? He said to her, he said, oh, what's your name? She said, Esther. He said, are your feet tired? She said, what do you mean, are my feet tired? He said, you've been running through my mind all night. Now wait, 40 to 74, and he chose her. I got a word for that lady out there. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. Now wait. Here she is. And Mordecai says, whatever you do, don't tell them you're Jewish. Said these Persians don't like the Jews. Don't tell them you're Jewish. But she was chosen. Hear me closely, folks. You trust God even when it don't make sense. See, we need to realize that Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7 says this. For promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor south, but God is judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. Somebody said, oh, Brother Benny, I got to meet with the right people. No, 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 you missed it. You got to meet with God. And if you meet with God and you have a relationship with God, he'll get you to the right people. You focus on God and he'll get you to the right people. Now look, if you read all 10 chapters of the book of Esther, and I recommend you do it, you know, there's one word you can't find in any chapter. You say, you got to be kidding, preacher. No, there's one. What would that word be, preacher, that you can't find any of the 10 chapters? You can't find the word God. God's not mentioned in the book of Esther. It's the only book in the Bible where God's not mentioned. Now wait. God's not mentioned. But boy, is he working. You hear me closely, folks. When you can't see him, when you can't feel him, when he seems like he's a million miles away, God is working. God is working. Oh, I say, God is working. You trust God when it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you the third thing I want you to get. There is a reason you were put in your mother's womb. Now, Ahasuerus had a prime minister. His name was Haman. And Haman didn't like Mordecai. Because let me explain to you what happened. Mordecai, the cousin of Esther. When Haman walked up, the people would bow down. But this guy Mordecai said, No. He's just a man. I worship Yahweh. I worship the true God of Israel. I'm not going to bow down to some man. Ladies and gentlemen, the best of men are men at best. We're not worshiping men. We're worshiping God. Amen? We're worshiping God. We're not gonna bow down. And man, this torqued Haman. And he goes to the king, Ahasuerus. And he says, King, these Jewish people, we got to do something about them. So the king sets a decree. And the decree is this. All the Jews will be annihilated. All the Jews will be killed. But I want you to know something, folks. That's not changed. The Jewish people are God's chosen people. Get this, according to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, they're God's chosen people. Don't you believe a replacement theology that the church took the place of the Jews? The church never took the place of the Jews. The Jews always have been, and they always will be God's chosen people. And if we bless the Jewish people, God will bless us. And if we stand with the Jewish people, God will stand with us. Haman couldn't destroy the Jews, and neither will Hamas or Hezbollah, because the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye. But Mordecai said to this old, to Esther, Esther, wait. What if God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this? What if this is the reason why you were put in your mother's womb? You know, I've thought sometimes in my life, folks, I wish I'd lived 40 years ago. But if God wanted me to live 40 years ago, I would have lived 40 years ago. I mean, a generation ago. God put us here for such a time as this. He said, maybe God put you in your womb for such a time as this. I will show you something, folks. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Now look, Mordecai knew that God had promised to Abraham the Jewish nation. And he said, Esther, look, you may not step forward, but somebody's going to. Folks, let me tell you something. God's going to use somebody. Why not you? Hey, come up, look into this face. Maybe God's given you the time that you have right now for such a time as this. You say, Pastor Benny, I've got some money. Maybe God's given you your resources for such a time as this. Brother Benny, I've got this talent. Maybe God has given you the talent you have for such a time as this. Why don't you let him use you? There's a reason why God put you in your mother's womb. Point number four. To fulfill God's plan for your life will require commitment. To fulfill God's plan for your life will require commitment. You got to understand something. Even if you was the queen, if you went into the king's inner chamber without the king summoning you, it meant death. So Mordecai says, Esther, you're a Jewish girl. God's put you here for such a time as this. You need to go to the king. But she knew, without him beckoning me, it may cost me my life. So she did something in verse 16. She said, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. And then she said, Mordecai, you get all the people to fast and pray. And after 3 days of fasting and praying, she said these words. She said, I'm willing to go. And if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. Get this. When you realize God's purpose for your life, you will be empowered. When you realize God's purpose for your life, you will be empowered. Let me tell you something else. Taking a risk is much easier when you know God's in control. I want you to understand something, folks. You say, Pastor, I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life. It's going to involve commitment. 35 years ago, I came to this church. 25 people. The average age was deceased. But it meant saying no to some things so I could say yes to some things. Ladies and gentlemen, fulfilling God's plan for your life, sir, fulfilling God's plan for your life, ma'am, it's going to involve commitment. I'm almost done. I know it's quiet today, but that's okay. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they put a sacrifice on the altar, and it stayed on the altar. But the problem is we're living sacrifices, and we crawl off the altar. We crawl off the altar. You say, "Preacher, I want God's purpose for my life." It's going to require commitment on your part. It may mean saying, "If I perish, I perish. I'm done." But don't underestimate the impact of your life. Don't underestimate the impact of your life. This morning early, I picked up my phone and I looked at the news. And I saw tomorrow that President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be meeting in the Oval Office. And I thought, I wish I could go. Why, preacher, would you like to go? I'd like to look at the Prime Minister and say, "Mr. Prime Minister, you're the leader of Israel. Do you realize, Mr. Prime Minister, there'd be no nation of Israel if it wasn't for a little orphan girl named Esther?" Whew. "Mr. Prime Minister, a little orphan girl saved your nation." Whew. Don't underestimate the impact of one life. Don't underestimate the impact of your life. God's no respecter of persons. Don't underestimate the impact of your life. What God can do through your life. See, folks, we've got a hidden secret weapon. You say, "Oh no, Brother Benny, I don't have a secret." Oh yes, you do. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon an individual for a task. Whew. And then he would leave. I've often envisioned going to heaven and get to heaven, and I want to get there, folks. And I want to look at Noah and say, "Noah, what was it like being in that ark for over a year with all those animals?" I want to get to Moses and I want to say, Mo, what was it like when you laid that rod out over the Red Sea and that jammy parted? Mo! And I want to say to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was it like being in that fiery furnace? And you came out. And them clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Well, you can't even go in the Waffle House and that happened. And then, must be the day for congressmen. I see Congressman Ferguson. I see Congressman Collins. Good men. And then I walk away, and one of them says, "Benny," and I stop. And they say, Benny, what was it like? What do you mean? What was it like every day, Brother Benny? Having the Holy Spirit inside of you. See, we didn't have that, Benny. What was it like having somebody to lead you? What was it like having somebody to guide you? What was it like having somebody who would never leave you nor forsake you? What was it like when you opened that Bible and you couldn't understand that you got direction from the Holy Spirit? What was it all? Glory be to God. What was it like when you didn't know how to pray, but somebody prayed for you? Oh, what was it like? And that same power, that same person is inside you, sir. That same person is inside you, young lady. That same person. Oh, listen. Don't you ever underestimate what God can do. I'm sorry, but what God can do with a life. I'm done. I'm almost. A preacher's preaching. And he said, I preached. And he said, people walked down the aisle. And he said, I looked. And a young boy came down the aisle. And he had wooden legs. By the way, folks, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. He had wooden legs. And he said, that boy with the wooden legs said this to the preacher, come here. Preacher said, I leaned down. And he said, the boy said, can God use half a man? Can God use half a man? He said, son, God can use a half a man who's wholly committed to Him. Wait. But He can't use a whole man who's halfway committed to Him. Can we stand to our feet all over God's house? Don't underestimate the impact of your life.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.